and I'm Tom Baker, as you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, February the 15th, in the year of our Lord 2014. January is Sanctity of Life Month, and on Sunday, January the 19th, many Christian churches, including the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, observe Life Sunday. To talk about that, we have a co-host with us today, pianist Dr. Mark Laverty. He's been on my program before, so welcome.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And I understand that you are heading up a group at your church, that you're a life team leader at Zion Lutheran. Can you explain what that means?
Well, in addition to my duties as a music director at Zion Lutheran Church in Maryland Heights, last year I asked our pastor right after January, which is Life Month, is there anything more we could be doing as a congregation, and what can we do? And he said, well, why don't you pick up the ball and run with it? And feeling as passionate about the issue as I do, I couldn't refuse, and so I contacted Lutherans for Life, and they said, well, you need to start a life team. And that was, I think, back in February of last year, and it's almost been a year now. And so we have a life team at Zion Lutheran Church.
A life team. What specifically is the purpose of a life team? You go to hospices, that kind of life team, or is it something with the pro-life movement?
Well, a life team could cover a variety of issues, and I've listed about dozens of them, everything from the abortion issue to adoption to sexual integrity to homosexuality to euthanasia, all the way to elder care and end-of-life issues. So a life team can encompass a wide range of issues, but in my heart and mind, one of the most critical, of course, is abortion, because this is where the unborn are faced with death, and it's unfortunately legal, but it's a very imminent thing. And even today, as we sit here in this beautiful studio, and as I had my delicious breakfast and drove in my nice car in our community here, we've got to keep in mind that today at Planned Parenthood there will be 20 or so little innocent lives that will be terminated by mothers who are desperate to find a solution for the great responsibility of raising a child. And Satan is misleading them to think that the life can be terminated and forgotten about, and then they can go on with their lives.
Yesterday on Faith and Family, they had our discussion on this whole pro-life movement with I think her last name was Carner, and others. So if you want to listen to even more about what Dr. Laverty is talking about, you can get a archive copy of that just by going to kfuo.org and looking under Faith and Family. Not long ago, I took, and this is kind of ironic, that one of the buildings right near that building you're talking about is the Salvation Army. And I took 7 televisions in there so they could sell them. They were, you know, not thin televisions. They were big ones. But it was kind of there. There's Planned Parenthood, and right beside it, the Salvation Army. Talk about a difference where Planned Parenthood is not interested at all in the salvation of these little children.
No.
They need to make their money and such. And so I find that kind of interesting. But at the seminary over the weekend when I'm there, I see this van that's parked there, and I understand that it's also parked sometimes at Planned Parenthood. Can you explain what that work is?
Well, basically what happens, and thank you for your question, is Planned Parenthood offers abortions, and there are 2 organizations that are life-affirming, pro-life. And they are what I consider on the front lines down at Planned Parenthood here in St. Louis. The first one is coalitionforlifestlouis.org. That's their website, of course. But they are on the sidewalk there, and they are stand right near the driveway that enters this facility, and they have their little orange jackets on, so they look very official, and they are, as some of the women drive in, they will roll down their windows, and they will ask, you know, what do you want? And so the people with Coalition for Life, in a very loving and gospel-oriented, motivated way, will say, well, if you are looking for an ultrasound, which you must have, I believe, in Missouri.
Oh, you have to have it, or you, it just has to be offered?
I think it is a legal requirement.
Would Planned Parenthood have ultrasounds in their building?
They do it, but they charge about $150.
Oh.
Whereas this van that you're referring to, which is owned by another organization called Thrive St. Louis, they park this very nice modern van across the street from Planned Parenthood. And the people at Coalition for Life say, if you go across the street, you can take this little card for a free ultrasound, and you can see that what's
the baby
being developed in your womb. And 95% of the time, I'm told, when the mother sees the child in the womb, they decide not to terminate the pregnancy.
Yes.
And so these are two organizations that are doing monumental work down on Forest Park Parkway.
Yeah, Andy Bates yesterday in his program was talking about that they had an ultrasound of his child, I think at 5 weeks and then at 20 weeks. And he saw a huge difference, he was saying, at the 20 weeks. In fact, there are some states now that are not allowing abortion after 20 weeks. Now, I know some federal judge is probably going to knock that down or something.
They're trying to, yes.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous that the people's will isn't being followed in this most moral area.
Well, now, you asked about Life Team. A Life Team is kind of an official term that has been coined by another organization called Churches for Life. And they are a local organization, the head of who is of which is Reverend Doug Murky. He's a Presbyterian minister, but he has started this organization that trains and helps create life teams and trains life members in churches around the country. And if you phone Lutherans for Life or contact them by email, they will say you need to start a life team at your church, and the way to do that is to contact Churches for Life.
Well, we have, I'm taking a look on the internet right now, Lutherans for Life. They're out of Nevada, Iowa. In fact, the head of it is one of my former field workers, which was a seminarian assigned to my congregation, James Lamb. Their number is 888-364 and then Life, L-I-F-E. 888-364-LIFE, and you can email them at info@lutheransforlife.org. And Dr. James Lamb, as I say, is the executive director, and you're telling me that if folks in the St. Louis area want to get involved with these programs, that's who they should first contact.
Yes, I think contact Lutherans for Life. They have, it's a big task and responsibility to train people around the country to be loving, caring, gospel-motivated members of life teams. And so they've asked Churches for Life to help them in that ministry.
Not long ago, I went to Zion, and there you were playing a piano. What was that all about?
Well, excuse me. As part of our life team, I believe our mission is to raise awareness of these life issues and also to raise funding for the work that we do and for these various organizations that I mentioned. So over the past year, we've had very successful plant sales. We've had fellowship breakfasts. We've had dinners, you know, Advent, Lenten dinners. And we've done various fundraisers. And so a suggestion was made, well, Mark, why don't you play a concert? We'll call it Concert for Life, a classical concert. And so we created that. We had it on, I think it was November 3rd last year. And I was just amazed at the success. We did a lot of work promoting it. And, of course, I did a lot of work preparing the music. It was a traditional classical concert with an intermission. And I played Bach and Chopin and Liszt on a 9-foot concert, Steinway Grand, from our neighbors.
Well, that's the best of the Steinways.
Yes, at the Steinway Piano Gallery. It's the best instrument you can have, and I think for the cause that we were doing, it was well worth it. It was not inexpensive, but people stepped forward, and we raised over $4,000, and we've already distributed that money to some of these organizations I've mentioned. So I think we achieved a couple things. We raised awareness, and we raised funds. Specifically, in the audience, it was some of the Zion members and some other Lutherans, as yourself, but also there were many other people there who were of different faiths, Muslims and some Jewish people. So it was a great witness, I think, as well for our church, for me, and It was a very good, successful event. And I'm willing to go around the country and play concerts to help raise awareness and raise funds for churches across the country.
And how do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can write to me via email, mark@marklaverty.com.
And Laverty is L-A-V-E-R-T-Y.
Correct. mark@marklaverty.com. They can call Zion Lutheran Church in Maryland Heights, Missouri. I think that number is 314-739-6121. Or I also have an email at church, and that is music@zionmh.org.
If you would like to call in, don't hesitate to do so. And maybe you have a question for Dr. Laverty. The number in the St. Louis area is 821-0850. And toll-free anywhere in the country, 1-800-730-2727. One of the items that I found quite interesting that we were talking about when Coalition for Life does its work with that van, can you give us the, like last year, how many women were kept from having an abortion through their work and the van, in contrast to how many did have an abortion?
Okay. I receive a newsletter from Coalition for Life, and they had some statistics in there, which I think are very important for us to know, especially we as Christians. I was told that there are approximately 6,000 abortions per year. I think that was last year.
And that's just at that location?
In St. Louis, yes.
Wow.
I mean, there's hundreds of thousands throughout the country.
Right.
But in St. Louis, it's about 6,000. And as far as I recall, the people that they are able to persuade not to terminate their pregnancy is in the number, in the range of 350.
350. So and about 5%
or so. About 5%. So there are about over 300 lives that are in existence now because of their efforts. And it's hard to put into words how tremendous that work is, but obviously it should be a lot more. And that's in conjunction with Coalition for Life and Thrive.
I remember that Mrs. Clinton once asked that Roman Catholic sister,
Mother Teresa,
you know, why they did not yet have a woman as president of the United States. And Mother Teresa's reply to her was, well, she probably was aborted.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, you just don't realize how many gifts that God has given us have occurred because of that abortion. We're going to be going to the phone lines right now. The St. Louis area is 821-0850. Toll-free is 1-800- 703-230-2727. I think we have someone up. Okay, let's see who. Oh, it's not. Oh, yeah, there we go. Hello, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Who are for it? They'll always come and say, "Well, you know, the politicians that are against abortion. The politicians that are against abortion, they're also against welfare. How do you answer that?"
Okay.
I'm not sure I heard the first part of your question. If you could repeat it, please.
Well, there were people who are against abortion.
Politicians.
Yeah, politicians, but they're also against welfare. What kind of welfare are you speaking of, sir?
You know, like TANF and the food stamps and, you know, the in other words, Republicans are usually the people who are mostly anti-abortion, who are against abortion, you know. And they're always the first ones to, you know, cut TANF and stuff. That's what people always point out to me, are, you know, things that help poor women that have kids.
I have a congregation of members, and they have no problem getting food stamps when necessary. We don't want to get into the politics here that we're talking about, but frankly, it's really not a thing about not giving food, etc., to poor people. It's really about who's going to be paying for this, and that you don't want to get people into a situation where they become so dependent on the government that they give up looking for work, as many have right now. But that's more of a political kind of thing. And if you don't like what the Republicans are, then you vote for a Democrat. If you like what the Democrats aren't doing, then you vote for a Republican or you become independent. But across the board, you have both Republicans and Democrats in your congregation like I did?
I would think, sure.
Yeah. Majority were Democrats. Because I was in University City, but every one of them was pro-life. You know, you didn't become a member of my congregation if you weren't pro-life, mm-hmm. And they consider homosexuality a sin. And in University City, they really did take care of the poor and such. But we don't really get into political kinds of things.
Not so much. It's and I'm not sure if we're addressing the question. I am still a little unclear, but I mean, abortion is a serious issue if you're an unborn child, and it's a serious issue for all people. And as Christians, our motivation is the gospel and our desire to show love to one another. And to care for one another, and to help them sustain their life and live a healthy, productive life, whether it's an unborn child, a teen in distress, a mother in distress, maybe a woman who has had an abortion and she is remorseful about it. That's a very serious thing, and also caring for the elderly too. There's a whole range of issues.
Our number's St. Louis area, 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. I recall in my congregation, we had it was a daughter of one of my members was brought to me. She wasn't a member of the church yet, but she was going to have her second abortion. And after talking to her, part of the reason is that her boyfriend didn't want her to keep it, mm-hmm. So she didn't have much support in that area. But she also didn't know how she could pay for anything. But we contacted Lutherans for Life, and they ended up doing four things for her. Number one, they found a doctor who would not charge her in order to have the baby.
Right.
Number two, they got an apartment for her. Number three, they got a job for her. And number four, they would have a place for her to stay after the baby was born. And that was all for free. So your groups are involved in things like that?
Well, thanks for asking about that and bringing that up. Yes, the numbers that I mentioned, the 350 so women who are persuaded not to terminate their pregnancy, once they are introduced to Thrive St. Louis, Thrive takes over and gives them tremendous resources. They give them free diapers, free counseling for up to 2 years. They give them a lot of resources and help them in this difficult situation. They understand that mothers are often without a lot of financial resources and medical care. So these are provided by Thrive free of charge. And this is why they need our contributions and support and prayers.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the internet here. Thrive St. Louis. Interesting, it's at 4331 Lindell.
It's blocks away from Planned Parenthood.
Yes. Yeah, interesting. Here's the number to call if you're at all interested in working with them. 314-783-0478. And they give free abortion counseling, free pregnancy test. They also have free ultrasound and sonogram for verification, a free clinic for women. Everything is so free. Where does the money come from?
Well, it comes from donors and people who are concerned, who aren't necessarily working for these organizations, but feel they have the wherewithal to donate. It comes from Concerts for Life. It comes from churches that feel they can contribute to organizations like this.
Planned Parenthood gets quite a bit of money from the government. Do these get any money from the government? These groups, do you know?
These life groups?
Right.
To my knowledge, no. I don't know. I don't think so.
Isn't that interesting?
But I was told, I met with Brian Westbrook for lunch a couple weeks ago. He is the head of Coalition for Life, St. Louis. And he said they had a remarkable dinner, I think it was last year, maybe the year before. They were able to raise somewhere over $100,000.
Wonderful.
He was just thrilled because that really sustains their efforts and helps them do good ministry. And I wanted to, you know, this program obviously is law and gospel. So I jotted down a question, how do we apply proper distinction of law and gospel to the sanctity of life issues? Well, obviously, there's the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. It's easy to cite the law and say, well, we shouldn't be doing this or we should be doing that. But the law is summed up in two commands, love God and love your neighbor. So this is the motivation for our work. We want to show love and concern to both the mother, who is perhaps in a distressful situation. She has a baby. Well, that's another life to take care of. That's a tremendous obligation and responsibility. But also the life of the unborn child. It's easy to deceive ourselves and say, well, it's not really a child, and we can just have a procedure and do away with it.
The law is pretty clear on the basis of the fifth commandment. The gospel is less clear here because you don't want to give impression to somebody who's about to have an abortion. Well, go ahead because you're going to get forgiven anyway.
Yeah.
Annie Bates on his program yesterday had a very interesting comment was made during the hour is that there was a woman who had had an abortion and her pastor was very friendly, this sort of thing, but he never addressed her situation because he refused to talk about abortion. And so, and this was really enlightening to me that here you have a situation where pastors who aren't talking about abortion because they want to be careful about dividing the congregation, that therefore they are taking away the wonderful gospel message of the forgiveness of sins for women who have had abortions and then later on in their life are really becoming guilty over it.
Yes.
And they have no place to go to hear the message. In fact, I think the comment she made, he was forgiving all sins except the one I had done.
Yes.
So that was a real interesting perception as to why pastors ought not leave out moral issues in the country, even though there may be some members in the congregation who would be disturbed over hearing them.
Yes, in the Portals of Prayer, our devotional booklet that's produced by
Concordia Publishing House and has daily devotions and prayers throughout the year.
Yes, I commend that to our listening audience and to Christians because this month in particular, all of the devotions are have been written by Dr. James Lamb, the head of Lutherans for Life. And indeed, yesterday there was a good devotion on a pastor who was preaching, and he raised the issue of abortion. And he said, well, there may be women in the congregation who have had an abortion. And an abortion is a sin like any other. And that's why people are in church, because we've all sinned. All the sins accuse us and condemn us. But that's what the gospel is for. The gospel is for forgiveness, and anyone who's sinned has access to that love and forgiveness of our Savior.
So your group meets every now and then. Do you have to be a member of Zion to become a member of your specific group at Zion?
Not necessarily, no. We have one member who of our team who is not a member of our church, and in fact, she just brought her newborn two-month-old child to the meeting last Sunday. We meet every month, the second Sunday of the month after church, and we have pizza because it's noontime, and so we have a little...
Oh, you never told me that.
Yeah, yeah.
I would show up, at least for the pizza.
So we have pizza, and we have about an hour-and-a-half long meeting. And,
really?
We set our goals. And
and the address of Zion?
Our address is 12075 Dorset Road.
So you're on Dorset, getting pretty close to Highway 270.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, just east of it, in fact. And that's every second Sunday. At what time again?
It's about noon after our second service. We have services at 8 and 10:30 at Zion.
And do you have speakers, or is it just general discussion or,
well,
or planning for the future?
Yeah, it's planning and talking about various life issues. And actually, last Sunday, Brian Westbrook of Coalition for Life came by to tell us about his ministry.
So that's very interesting.
Yes. Yes.
And what's the next item, like a concert or selling plants or anything that your church will be doing? Do you have anything planned?
Well, the next big event, of course, is this Sunday, which is Life Sunday. And
yes,
we will be distributing flyers for Lutherans for Life, and we will have prayers for life issues. And so those are the things that will be coming up.
And what are the times of your services?
8 and 10:30.
8 and 10:30. And they'll also hear you as organist.
They will, hopefully.
Yes.
Do we have time for a short prayer?
No, we don't.
Well,
so I appreciate you being with us today, Mark. And we'll have
me.
To get you back again, see how things are going. And tomorrow on Law and Gospel, you hear that 90% of the people in the United States believe in God. Wes Reimnitz is going to question that. That's tomorrow on Law and Gospel. Till then, blessings.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.